Hey, welcome everybody on YouTube here for Off the Hook Overtime. Kyle, did you make it okay? Looks like you did.
Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I feel welcome. Rob, you okay? You make it okay?
Welcome, welcome.
Gila, you there too?
We are indeed.
And you're monitoring YouTube? Make sure we're actually on YouTube?
Yes, we are actually on YouTube.
Okay.
And things are good. Welcome to the 22 people who are with us so far.
Wow, okay. And Alex, look at you. Wow, over there in London.
I'm here, but briefly. I think I'm going to have to say goodnight because I have to get up so early to catch this flight to New York tomorrow.
Well, are you coming back? Why are you coming back? I don't mean to sound so disappointed, but I'm just, you know, you just got there. Why, you know, I'll stay there for a while.
Well, I have been here for a little while. I got here Saturday afternoon, and then, but I mean, why am I going back? I mean, it is a lovely place. I have a wife and children in New York.
Well, I know that, but they could join you there. You see, it's hot here right now. It's a heat wave. Actually, the heat wave will be over on Friday, I believe, so that's when
it's pretty hot here, too.
Is it?
It is.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
A couple of days. And, you know, the British have no idea how to deal with heat. A lot of places don't have air conditioning.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, they just deal with it in a different way. We put air conditioners everywhere, and by the subway, for instance, by air conditioning everything in the subway, we make the subway platforms that much hotter, whereas in England it's a bit more average. You know, the trains are hot and the platforms are hot, but the platforms aren't as hot as they are in New York.
I guess, you know, if you want to just change the subject of all this to be about subway or tube temperatures, that'd be totally fine.
No, we can change the subject to refrigerators, because you'll notice as you travel that everyone has smaller refrigerators than we do. We have to have these mega refrigerators. Some of them are huge. They have two doors on them. It's insane the amount of food that we shovel into those things and into ourselves. If you go to someone's house in the UK or in Europe, you notice that it's you know, it's something you could pick up. The refrigerators are small, and it's what they need. You know, it doesn't waste as much energy. I don't know why I'm so impassioned about this, but it just you know, irks me.
Well, yes, refrigerators are definitely smaller here. Food portions are smaller here.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore people
are somewhat smaller.
I wonder if you get stuck. Now, I'm not saying this happens in the underground, but is it any cool? Is it average temperature if you're stuck in the summer commuting somewhere? Or do they just not have?
What do you mean stuck?
Well, I mean, in an emergency, if something happens, they have to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And people are in a confined space.
Right.
It's preferable to have that air conditioning.
Well, you can open the windows on the tube. I'm pretty sure you can.
That's right. They do. They have a lot of, like, breeze.
Yeah. And, you know, people pretty much take matters into their own hands. They'll climb out of the things and make their own way if they have to.
Oh, I see. And, like, just go for, like, the exit stairwell.
Yeah, but now, you know, in New York, they discourage even walking between cars now. You know? How else do you get from one car to another? That's how you're supposed to do it.
So, wait. But there, I have one more question.
I'm sorry?
Oh, you wait until the car stops.
No, why would you do that? You want to move now. When the train is, like, hurtling through the stations, that's, you know, a true New Yorker if you can do that. You know, I've seen blind people do it. I've seen people with no legs do it. I'm not kidding. New Yorkers can do these things if you know, we're allowed to do these things.
I think those have windows as well, those doors. But I think the newer trains may have different climate control, but also they're the open design, so you don't have to go through doors.
You know, I've yet to see that. I know they're bringing those trains in. You talk about the trains with the that you could, you know, roll a bowling ball down and go the whole length of the train, which I do intend to do, but I haven't seen that yet. I think it's on the A line. If it's more than one test, I know there's one test train.
I think they're going to attain more than one.
Uh-huh. Well, we've run out of things to say. Oh, Gila, go ahead.
We saw it.
You did? You saw that train?
We weren't on it, but we saw it.
We
were at Penn Station, and we were waiting for our train, and another train on that platform went by, and it was one of the open design cars, and I said, good Lord, if someone pees in the corner of that car, the whole train's going to smell.
You were waiting for an E-train, were you not?
Yes.
See?
Mm-hmm.
I can tell things about people just by the tiniest of details. All right.
And it was a C train that had the open design.
It was a C train? I thought it was the A train. Oh, wow. Okay.
They have expanded.
I didn't know that.
It was a C train that had the open design that went by, and I said, yikes.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't going to take us home. So.
No, but it would take you on a magical tour someplace. That's what the subway does.
There are bound to be a lot of strategies for beating the heat. So maybe we need a segment of, like, heat hacks or something.
Well, I'll tell you one way you beat the heat is you don't warm up the planet, you know, and you take steps to stop global warming. You take it seriously. You elect people that will take it seriously and maybe do something about it. Sure, maybe it's too late for us and our generation and even our kids and grandkids. But beyond that, hopefully there'll be more humans, and they might live to benefit from our, you know, our caring and our knowledge and our foresight, which the previous generations failed so miserably at.
Okay, I'm listening.
Yes, Alex.
I will share with our listeners some bit of earth science that I learned from The Sopranos, of all places.
You learned earth science in The Sopranos that involved burying people?
Well, not about, well, maybe about burying, perhaps, but this was one of the Sopranos episodes when Tony was shot and he's in the hospital, and it was very metaphysical.
And who shot him?
Well, Uncle Junior.
Uncle Junior shot him.
I mean, you know, who else would shoot Tony Soprano except his Uncle Junior?
The guy who played Uncle Junior, by the way, is a great singer.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
Is he still alive?
Yes.
He is. That's incredible, because he was old back then, and that was before 2000.
Yes.
Why?
Yes, I guess to show you.
Huh.
Yes.
That Mediterranean diet, man, that's what does it.
Well, we don't know what he eats, but we can assume a lot, mm-hmm. I think.
Anyway, you were talking about earth science and The Sopranos.
Yes. So one of my favorite lessons of earth science was learned from the Sopranos episode when Tony was in the hospital, and Carmela, his wife, had bought him some kind of book from the hospital. There weren't too many books available, so she said to him something like, "Well, I know you like books about science and dinosaurs and things, so here's a book about that." And then a few scenes later, he's reading something from this science book that his wife has gotten him while he's recovering from a gunshot wound from his Uncle Junior, as you aptly pointed out, Emmanuel. And he said, kind of almost as some kind of revelation to all these gangsters, all these North Jersey gangsters, he said, "You know, if you were to create a timeline of the history of the planet Earth, it was to be as long, you know, that timeline would be as long as the Empire State Building, right? Because Earth has been around, you know, 4 billion something years, right? It's a long time. It's really, really been around for a while. So if you were to create this timeline, and if the timeline was as long as the Empire State Building, the time during which human beings have been on that planet, on the planet Earth, would be a postage-sized stamp on that timeline at the end, at the very, very tippy top of the Empire State Building."
Well, the stamp could be anywhere. It doesn't have to be at the top. It could be at the bottom. But yeah,
it could be at the top. Right. You know, but we're still here. Is the point? Is that the timeline is still going on? Right? We don't know how long we're going to be here. But the timeline for which humans have been on this planet is tiny, tiny. That's the postage size stamp relative to the Empire State Building. So for us to consider that we're always going to be here, or that we have some kind of claim or dominion over this property, over this planet, is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about postage size stamp of being over the rest of the Empire State Building.
Well, I think, you know, you got to point the finger at the Empire State Building, too, because, you know, it's presumptuous of that Empire State Building representing the entire history of the Earth to assume that we're going to be interested in sticking around much longer. You know, we're a tiny postage-sized stamp. Look how much we've done in that little brief amount of time. We're going to get bored with this place. We're going to move on to the Chrysler Building or some other building and explore them all. You know, we're going to move around. We're not going to stay put.
The other way of looking at it is that perhaps this postage-sized stamp of being at the end of the Empire State Building's timeline here would be something akin to a common cold that the planet will just shake off.
Mm-hmm.
that we're some kind of virus that's here. Look at the damage we've done in that postage size stamp of being.
Will you stop saying postage size? Just say stamp. We all know what a stamp is. Why? When do you use stamps that aren't postage size? Who does that?
Stamps that aren't postage size. I mean,
When do you use them? Show me a stamp that's not a postage stamp.
Okay. I, in a lot of my correspondence, I use stamps that are not postage stamps.
You're talking about stamping rejected on somebody's application or something? Is that the kind of stamp?
I've got a lot of just regular stamps that I like to use that make my correspondence. Physical paper.
Okay, well, bring one next time. I'm calling you bluff on this. I want to see these stamps.
I have tons of stamps. Why is this upsetting me so much?
I don't know why I'm getting so angry at this, but it's just, I guess hearing the phrase postage size stamp a dozen times in the course of 5 minutes just set me off. I apologize.
But if you don't understand stamps, I guess that would be
stamps fine. Thank you very much. I used to collect them when I was a kid before I lost them.
Well, those are postage stamps, so you would have
They were all different sizes. They were all postage stamps, so even your description here falls apart because different countries have different size stamps. So what do you say to that?
Well, it's all relative. So, you know, it's relative. You can take the average size stamp.
We're talking about the history of the human race. What do you mean it's all relative? Are we a tiny stamp or a big stamp? We don't know.
Tiny stamp. That's the whole thing. Are there any big stamps?
You know, I use stamps. I don't know why this is coming up. I mean, I'm not, like, crazy about them or anything. But I am familiar with the variety they tend to have, and it isn't a very accurate unit of measurement.
You know what?
You don't have to go to other countries to find stamp sizes that are large. Sometimes they have sort of, like, commemorative ones that are a different shape than you're, like, well, that term you were using for a particular type of stamp that we're conjuring up that's more square.
You can say it, Kyle. It doesn't bother me as much when you say it. When Alex says it so many times in such a brief period of time,
right.
I don't know what it is. It just sets me off. But look, Alex, I'm trying to help here. What if you just said quarter instead? Because that's not going to change the size. You know, that's going to be, or a pound. I guess people here don't know what a pound coin is like. But something that isn't of different sizes. Wouldn't that be better?
Okay. The point is that
you mean a unit of measurement?
A unit of measurement, too. That's a good idea, like an inch or a 6 inches or something like that.
Okay.
Like, do they still have rulers? You know, remember those things that they're made out of wood and you get whacked with them by the teacher sometimes?
How is this hacking heat with nihilism?
No, it's the heat hacking us. Don't you see? We all have heat stroke and we can't escape.
We can't agree on a unit of measurement for our nihilist, like, fatalism?
It's 30 degrees Celsius in this room. That's about 86 Fahrenheit, if I'm not mistaken, 85. My brain hasn't gone yet, but it's hot in here. There's no air. I don't know about you guys. Alex, you haven't blinked in about 10 minutes now. I think maybe your image is frozen, or maybe not. I don't know.
I hope you can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Oh, you hear me? Maybe my image is just frozen. But there's no air here either at the Chelsea Arts Club. I have to keep the windows open and some kind of fan on, and it's not pleasant. But the point being, going back to the stamps, postage stamps, all kinds of stuff, is that we haven't been here very long.
I wonder why. I mean, you know, you think we're going to last much longer?
I don't know. I mean, I think that remains to be seen. I mean, we could blow ourselves up, or the Earth could just shake us off in some, kind of, it could see us as the equivalent of a common cold and just get rid of it.
I think the virus reference is interesting. Coming off of the last half a dozen years or 4 years, I don't know how many decades it's been.
Let me turn conservative for a second, or maybe just interpret this as Tony Soprano might. But if we're that small and insignificant, how could we screw up the entire Empire State Building as just our entire history as a postage stamp? You know, maybe this is all overblown.
You know, or we're not making as much of an impact as we think we are.
Mm-hmm.
No, we may have really screwed things up, I think, climate-wise and whatnot, but that's just an invitation for the Earth to course correct.
Right. No, I've heard it said the Earth will be fine. It's us that are screwed, and of course other forms of life as well. But the planet will, you know, as you say, shake us off and come up with a better idea.
Yeah,
and that's just going to be the way it works.
It's also what we do with our understanding, right? Like we may be at a point where we know much more and have feel like we have a better understanding of the world than we do. But it's still relative. Like,
Rob, did you have something to contribute?
I'm just thinking of all those years I wasted collecting stamps. It turns out philately will get you nowhere.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know who I'm more angry at now. I really don't.
Well, look, you guys, I really have to go to bed. I know what you're trying to do here. I see it. You're trying to get me to stay up.
Oh, yeah, that's what I did. I plot and scheme just to keep you around more. That's my raison d'être.
It is. I mean,
that's what it's all about.
Uh-huh. I know.
Because you're such a draw and such a fascinating person to talk to.
You're
and
not usually,
they go on for ages and ages.
You're not like
that. Why not talk to you until midnight?
This isn't you.
Who is it then?
You know what? I will make you guys a deal. I have to get up so goddamn early.
Why don't you just stay up then? That's what I would do.
I know it's what you would do, but you're crazy. You're a lunatic.
What's your point?
And I'm not. But the point is, I'm going to listen to Overtime, and if the first caller is not Rebel, then I will rejoin the duration of that call. How about that?
Duration of that call?
Yeah, I don't know if I can stay up till 2 in the morning here. I'm so tired.
See, Rebel can stay on the phone indefinitely. We all know this. All right, I'm not sure anyone else is able to do that.
We have had some attempts.
True.
Once we start talking to them, they usually want to get off the phone pretty quickly.
Yes. Yeah,
we haven't given out the phone number yet.
We haven't even given out the phone number yet. So
we haven't given out the phone number yet.
How about, Alex, you give out the phone number. Let's make that part of the deal.
802-321-4225. That's 802-321-4225.
And can I just...
H-A-C-K,
yes. Can I just share one thing before you do go? Is that the program for HOPE, the HOPE Conference, has been finished, is at the printer now. We are going to have food trucks. I heard a rumor that we might have Club Mate, and if we do, it'll be free. Yeah, but it's not official, so I can't really say anything. Oh, wait. You know what? Never mind that. That's just a rumor somebody started. But the conference is just over 2 weeks away at St. John's University. So
it's in days. It's in hours.
Oh, God. It's something. But people have been working on this for so long.
That's the unit of measurement.
We have more talks than ever. We have more workshops than ever. We have expanded space and just all kinds of really awesome things are going to be happening. More details at hope.net. Definitely need to sell more tickets because, people don't like to travel, I know, and it's economical issues and things like that, but we want to continue doing this. We want to be able to have hacker conferences more frequently, if not less frequently. And, things like that.
I don't disagree with that at all. I really very much hope to see everybody at HOPE, and I'm sure I will. And with that, I'm going to jump off, but I'm going to be listening.
Okay, so just so we understand each other, we have a phone call, and you're going to disconnect now. We're going to pick up the phone call, and if that phone call is not Rebel, then you have to reconnect again.
Well, why don't we just, see who the caller is, and then if it's Rebel, I'll disconnect and say goodnight to everybody.
And
if it's not,
then what?
Stay on for a reasonable amount of time.
No, that's not what you said. You said you'd stay on. Not for a reasonable amount of time. Just okay. You know what? Let's pick up the phones.
I'm qualifying.
Pull the Band-Aid off and see what happens.
Right. Yes.
Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
And I'm not Rebel.
Ha!
Oh,
there
wow.
you go, Alex. Yeah. So, by all means, what's on your mind? And feel free to talk as slowly as you want.
I'll talk at a normal pace, I think. I wanted again to encourage you guys to run for the WBAI local station board. There are exactly two staff nominees right now. I don't know whether they have enough nominations or not to run, but there are only two people even trying to get, you know, to become, to run in this election.
Just out of curiosity, what happens if not enough people run?
If not enough people run, there's no election. The ones who get enough nominations are, by default, they win, and we're in deep trouble. Now, the way I read the bylaws, and I have looked at them, you have to go by the last runners-up list of the last election. So if you don't have an election, and we're talking about staff nominees, you know, let's say the other stations have elections, but WBAI staff does not have an election. You go by the runners-up list from the last election, which would be last year's runners-up list, and would fill the third seat, assuming that both of these people got their enough nominations. The third seat would come from the runners-up list from last year. Now, if they're going to say, oh, last year's doesn't count because we had elections this year, although we didn't have an election this year for this one, then the local station board would be able to nominate whoever they felt like and vote on whoever they felt like, and the majority faction would be able to choose someone who suited them in order to clinch their majority that much more firmly. So that would be a really bad idea.
And that's why I asked, so that we all know now what would happen in that situation. Okay, so message received. Somebody on the staff should run to help protect the station. Anything else you want to convey?
The two staff nominees that you would be running against are Randy Credico and Doug Wood. Doug Wood's already on the board, so he's running for re-election.
I see. And your role in all this again? Are you on that board?
I am already on the board. I can't run for re-election this year. I'll be running for re-election next time. But I'm on the board, and you know, I try to bear it patiently.
Uh-huh. And can you describe what a typical board meeting is like?
Chaotic.
Okay, all right.
Robert's Rules of Order are required. You have to go by them. And I strongly dislike Robert's Rules of Order.
Point of information? Wait, did I do it right?
Recognized?
Yes.
Who are you? You don't get to recognize me. You're out of order. You're out of order.
strike the remarks.
How dare you, sir?
Yeah.
No, I was asking if Rob T. Firefly had any connection to Robert's Rules of Order. Somebody has to be responsible for Robert's Rules of Order. Who is Robert?
Robert is the last name of the guy who invented these things.
Huh. Seems a little gruff to just call him Robert. Robert's Rules of Orders. This is his idea.
Yeah. He was trying to make things easier for organizations to have some rules to run their meetings by. And I don't know, but there's this huge tome. And anyway, I have the Spark Charts condensed version, which is six really long, dense pages that I've poured over. And so, you know, by studying that, I am a little bit more able to navigate Robert's Rules of Orders, but
I just wonder, is there maybe, you know, alternatives to Robert's, like, is there Randy's Rules of Order, or, you know, or Rebecca's Rules of Order? It doesn't have to begin with R, either.
Ways, there are other ways of running meetings, certainly,
uh-huh.
but the bylaws say we use Robert's Rules of Order, so we're stuck unless and until we get a change in the bylaws on that particular thing.
That would be a fun thing to lobby for, is changing the way they do the meetings just because it's part of democracy. But you see, that's why, and, you know, should we be encouraging listeners to also be part of this? Not the staff, obviously, but there's a listener board, too, right?
Yes.
All right, so listen, you could maybe make your own rules of order and have them implemented, but it would take some work and convincing, but that's what politics is. Yeah, if you believe in democracy, this is a great way to start. Or finish.
Just because I'm encouraging all of you to run as staff nominees does not mean that I'm not also encouraging all the off-the-hook listeners and off-the-hook overtime listeners to run as listener nominees.
Mm-hmm.
There are more people running. I mean, if they get 15 nominations each, the ones who get 15 nominations each will be running, but there are not enough good people that I would be comfortable voting for to fill the 9 seats.
But you haven't gotten to know them yet. I mean, you just have to get to know who they are. You know, they're out there.
Do you mean the people who are already running, or
no? The people who haven't even decided to run yet that we're convincing to run right now, BAI listeners, who they have to pledge $25, right, to become part of the family.
Yeah, between July 1st of last year and Sunday
of this year,
this week.
Yeah, so if you don't have a time machine, you got to do it by Sunday.
Yeah, you have to do it by 11:59. You have to join by 11:59 to be able to vote, and you want to join a little bit earlier in order to be able to nominate or run.
And you have to get nominations from other BIR listeners or just anyone?
Other listener members.
So how do you reach those people? If you're new to this, how would you find 15 people to nominate you?
Well,
Yeah, it's not easy.
when I click on the right spot for nominating,
uh-huh.
It lists everyone who's nominated each person. So I can see the names of other nominators. And, you might be able to recognize them, or who knows, you might be able to get in touch with them.
Is there a way to get in touch with them when you see those names, or do you have to track them down somehow and stalk them?
I don't think you would need to stalk them. Let's see. That's a reasonable challenge. There's nothing here that I could click on. I could not contact the other just nominators, but everyone who's running also gets to nominate. And you can contact any of the people who are running and send them an email and ask them to support you.
Okay, and how many people are on each?
You also want to encourage all your friends to join.
How many people are on each of these boards, the listener board and the staff board?
It's one board.
Right.
It has...
Oh, it's one board. Okay.
Yes. It's one board. It has 24 members.
Uh-huh.
12 of them get elected in one election, and 12 get elected in the next election.
Well, how many are staff? How many are listeners?
Nine are listener members. And 3 are staff members.
That's only 12. You said 24.
Yes, half of them, 12 of them get elected in one election, and the other 12, staggered, are in the next election.
Well, that's a different question, but are there 18 listeners and 6 staff? Is that how it's divided up?
Yeah.
Okay. Gila has a question. Go ahead.
Yes, we do have a question from the YouTube chat about how local needs to be. Namely, listener Funsocks would like to know if he can run from the UK.
You can.
That would be fun. To have our listeners populate the board. I mean, think about that. Think of the decisions. What kind of decisions can be made by this board?
Well, prepare them, yes.
One thing that is going on right now, both the general manager and the program director were abruptly removed from their positions in an irregular manner. Either the executive director can initiate such a thing or the local station board if both of them agree. But if both of them do not agree, then it goes to the Pacific and National Board to decide. But the executive director removed them without even asking the local station board. And now they're trying to fix it, saying they're not removed. They are on administrative leave paid.
I see.
Administrative leave.
Uh-huh.
Which is, you know, it's gobbledygook for, oops, we made a mistake.
Well, it's like when a cop shoots somebody and winds up on desk duty.
So the executive director and the Pacifica National Board are now trying to get... There's been an illegal executive session that's supposed to be held right now, except they've provided no link. And it wasn't, you know... The local station board calls its own meetings. Other people don't get to, but somebody else has decided, and, you know, you can't do that. But they're trying to get the local station board to either agree, which means they're out, or disagree, which means it goes to the Pacific National Board, and they decide that they're out. And what we want is to see what are the facts, please. Could you tell us why you removed them and what did they do wrong exactly, and let us look over all whatever documentations you have and hear their side of the story before we make any decision. So that's the top thing at the moment, but there are all sorts of other things that we can consider.
Well, okay,
that's on my mind most.
I think we've given a lot of detail. Can you just give a site people can visit to get more information, and we'll see what happens?
Yeah, elections.pacifica.org.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens in the next week, but thanks for sharing all that.
Okay. And if you do it before Thursday night, which is a good idea.
It's tomorrow night.
Then Pacifica Fight Back can consider whether they wish to support you.
All right.
So get your name in and, you know, put a candidate statement in the candidate statement block so we can see what to judge, you know, your quality by.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, wow, I think I've learned everything.
Yeah, it was certainly a lot of information.
Yeah. Aren't you glad that wasn't Rebel Alex? You got to stick around for that entire call. And
I stuck around, you know, on the sole basis of showing everybody that I keep my covenants here.
Uh-huh. Now, do you want to challenge the second caller?
No, I'm going to bed, guys. I am. Yeah, that was enough for me.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for all that wonderful wealth of information.
And I assume you will be running on the staff board, for the staff board. We'll fill out the paperwork for you. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
Get submitted tonight, and you'll be called upon.
All right, that sounds good. Well, I wish everybody the absolute best. I do, and I'm sorry I have to jump off a little bit early, but it is 1:34 in the morning here. I have to be up in 5 hours.
Oh, yeah, that's nothing. Don't worry about it. We'll see you back in New York. We'll have an entourage waiting for you.
Yeah, exactly. I can't wait. I'll be listening as I fall asleep on YouTube.
And again, Alex, no more traveling on Wednesdays. You do this to yourself.
Really, it's very difficult.
Yeah, any other day, not Wednesday.
No,
all right, good night. Sleep well.
Yep. Good night, everybody. Love you all. Talk to you then.
Alex, bye. There. And we have another phone call, I believe. All right, good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Yes, Emmanuel.
Oh, you just missed Alex. He'll be devastated. Do you want to call him back, maybe?
Call Alex back.
You know what? We'll give you his ID, his Skype ID, so you can just barge in any time. How about that?
I don't have Skype, but...
Oh, we'll get you Skype. That's no problem.
Okay. You could do something with it, like when you call... It's like 9X that cuts you off. You know, like when you call here, like the 802 number, it cuts you off after like 7 rings or something and says... you know, please do that. You know, it's your voicemail.
You know, talking to Rebel is like jumping onto a moving train. You have to really get your bearings and figure out where you're going and what's going on. 9X cutting you off, what?
No. You know, when you call off the hook all the time, right?
Uh-huh.
You call the 802-321-HACK.
Which I don't do. You realize that because I'm here. But, okay, I'm putting myself in that position.
It cuts you off after 5 rings or something, and then it gives you that message saying, you know...
No, I don't know, because I don't call it.
It's like hang tight or something, yeah. We know.
And then what happens?
It cuts you off after like 5 or 7 rings, and then it just goes to your message saying, you know, where's the busy signal?
Okay, well, you know what? That's a Google voice number. Google doesn't believe in busy signals. I would like it to be one phone line so that everybody else gets a busy signal, but this is the only way they operate. So everybody who calls that isn't the first caller winds up getting that instead in this.
Right.
Precious little we can do.
You know,
a little bit more rings.
Okay.
I would like more rings, sure.
It's a little arcane. Critique noted. I mean,
yeah, but it's not
for how long
critique. It's Google's critique.
Well, now,
give it to them.
Here's my point. We've had this system for a while. Maybe our next little fun project is a custom telephone system.
Oh, really? Okay. All
that
right.
Is just like... Got all the bells and whistles, everything your heart's desire.
Yeah, maybe there'll be a telephone museum they're bulldozing next, and they can like grab all the remains from that, you know? Because people don't save things; they don't save the things that matter.
It's just, you know, how long are we going to blame the choices we made? I would even say in haste,
mm-hmm.
Right? Like just it was set up the way it was set up. It works the way, you know, somewhat the way we intended it to with these complaints.
Why don't you get an asterisk system?
Wow.
That's a great idea. There's all kinds of fun ways we could redo this. So maybe people can suggest ideas for ways they would make it more customizable. Or maybe Google will turn into a phone company and you know, beg us to tell them how they can improve and meet our needs better.
Well, you need some water, Kyle. I mean, I think you're dehydrated. So you're thinking Google's going to be helpful and reach out and talk with human voices.
I am melting.
Yeah.
Rebel, are you eating something?
Very warm. That's the only reason he's keeping quiet.
I remember I was in Europe last couple of weeks.
Yes, you can't seem to remember where in Europe, but you were in Europe, yes.
I was in Europe, and there was something in the hotel that I stayed at that was not there, that used to be there, and something in an airport that's not there, that used to be there. Do you know what it is?
A mouse?
A mouse?
Yeah, lots of hotels have mice, and they're not always
not
there.
Not the one that I stayed at.
Well, you don't know that. They're tiny. They could be there. I think I could be right.
It's in an airport, too.
What? Mice can't go to airports. All right, fine. Now I know the rules. What else could have been in a hotel? Well, okay. There's probably still a television.
Television.
They don't have keys anymore. They have cards
or
things, or they read your brain. Someone help me out here. There's 3 other people.
Slow it down.
How about some guesses?
It's warm.
That's not a guess. It's warm.
Yeah. I think I'm melting.
No. What is okay, the question is, what is not in a hotel room that used to be in a hotel room and it's also not in the airport and used to be in the airport, right?
Oh, a clock radio.
Why would there be a clock radio in an airport?
Clock radio.
Oh,
I would say payphone, but most hotel rooms don't have payphones.
You're halfway right.
All right, a landline.
You're... Kind of, you're 3/4 of the way right.
Okay, it's a telephone. I mean,
yeah, there was no tele. Well, in one of the hotels I stayed in Italy,
What does that make a difference? Yeah, okay, there's no telephone there either.
There was no telephone in the room when I stayed in Italy. There was no telephone. And in Israel, there was, but it wasn't working.
Uh-huh.
And when I went to the airport, there were no pay phones.
Well, that's true of almost any airport now. It's true of almost anywhere now. So you're not telling us anything that's really that shocking. I am curious, though, how do you contact the front desk? You just yell out the window?
That's the thing. If you're like, you know, if you like get undressed and you like say, hey, I forgot to call for a wake-up call, what are you going to do? Get back dressed and, you know.
Is that what happened to you?
No, it's not what happened to me. I was just, you know, I was just thinking after I noticed that there was no, you know, phone in the room.
Well, it's a lot of infrastructure. Think about that. They got to run a wire to every room. They have an instrument in every room. They got to maintain those instruments. And, you know, all the calls are free because you're going, you know, calling inside the hotel or to the front desk, unless you make an outside call, but nobody does that anymore.
The extra thing to clean?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. What I guess you could talk through the TV set somehow. Is that what they do?
Yeah. Well, no. I don't know. I guess, you know, there was no hotel. There was no PBX phone in the hotel room.
Wow.
And there was no payphone at the airport, any airport. I landed in Germany first. I don't think I saw a payphone there. I went to Portugal. There was no payphone there.
You know what you do? There's this magazine called 2600. Some of us are involved with it. We print 2600. It's a hacker magazine, and we print payphone photos on the front and back, covers, and go to where those are, and you'll find payphones. Or at least shells of payphones. What do we have this issue, Carl? Where are the payphones?
There's a variety of payphones, and there are cool looking payphones from everywhere. Let's see, from Taiwan, Luxembourg, and Europe, Western Europe, and South Korea, Brazil, Thailand.
Yeah, well, you go to Brazil, Thailand, South Korea. Rebel, go to those places. You're making this more difficult than it has to be, okay? The payphones are right there.
When I was in England, I called my cell phone collect. Like, there was payphones in Manchester, England, and I called my cell phone collect.
You called your... First of all, can you even do that? Can you make calls to us? All right, and then what happened?
I don't know. I didn't get the bill, so I mean...
You accepted? You accepted a collect call from yourself?
Yeah.
Dude, that's the first thing anybody in the hacker community teaches you is do not accept a collect call from Rebel. How do you not know this?
When I was in London, I did it a couple of years ago. I don't know. It's
worked. Gila, yes, please.
We do have a couple of comments from the chat along.
I certainly don't doubt it.
So, Funsox was guessing that the Gideon Bible was the thing that was missing from the hotel.
Well, only because one of us was in the room first. We couldn't resist.
And Tim in Connecticut did mention that the last time he was at Heathrow, there were payphones.
Well, that could have been like 1950. We don't know when that was. When was the last
time
he was in Heathrow? Yeah. Things change. This world is rapidly changing. In this little postage size stamp.
At O'Hare, are we cell phones? There was a payphone when we had a layover in O'Hare, I think.
Minneapolis.
All right.
And then there are the sad dead payphone in Milwaukee.
Yeah, they have the kiosks that used to be payphones.
Yeah. Tim says 6 months ago in Terminal 3.
Okay, there you go, Rebel. Heathrow, Terminal 3. Head out now.
Wait, which airport?
Heathrow. In the U.K.,
London. UK.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there are payphones in the U.K. I know when I was just in Manchester a couple of weeks ago and I bought a payphone.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, these are payphones in an airport. So if you need that need fulfilled, there it is. Anything else? Because I think there might be other people out there.
Okay. I guess that's all.
Okay.
Well, stations to make gas prices lower. You know, just social engineering. Maybe that's what we should do at Hope. Social engineer the gas station and, you know, make them, you know, make the gas prices lower and just get.
That sounds like a lot of fun. We'll take it under advisement. But thanks for your call, and always good to hear from Rebel. Always. Every time. Constantly.
Those systems are programmable, I think. Some of the LED systems, the ones that don't have numbers that you have to, like, affix to the sign.
Yes. You're talking about gas prices? Are we going with his idea?
Is that what he was talking about?
Why, what were you talking about?
Well, I know that obviously the employees have to change them.
Somebody has to do it. I've never actually seen it being done.
System. Yeah, it's just magic, right?
And don't people get angry at you when you do it? You know?
I think it's not looked too kindly upon by the proprietors of gas stations.
Sometimes they go down. In fact, they've gone down because, you know, it's under $4 now, and it was over $5 a few years ago. So, yeah, it can go down. But, yeah. All right, I don't know why we're talking about gas prices, but we have another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, guys.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Good. Wait, where are you calling from? Where are you calling from?
Queens,
New York.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's where the Hope Conference is taking place. Yeah, the Hope Conference is taking place.
St. John's University.
Yeah, St. John's University. That's the place.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to complain, but as a senior citizen, that cost for that hackers convention is a little bit on the heavy side.
Yeah, I get that. I understand. You know, that's unfortunately what happens sometimes. Things cost money. And that's the cheapest we can do for what we're getting.
What is it, $325?
No, $225. See, you just saved $100.
$300 or $225? Listen, can you buy a ticket at the door if you decide at the last minute that you...
You know, we weren't going to, but we're discussing the possibility now only because the last time we did this, everyone was wearing masks, COVID was still around, and it was an issue, and, you know, we just didn't want to deal with people coming in that might not have been, you know, properly suited and all that. So this time, we're going to decide in the next week, I think, if we're going to have on-site sales.
Yeah, but if you're going to have people there, you know, someone said to last minute, all right, I'll whip out my credit card and go. Yeah, because I don't know if I'm going to stay the whole 2 days.
It's 3 days. See, it's 3 days. Now, you saved you $100 and added a day, so that's not bad, huh?
Actually, I'm blind, so I don't know how much I get out of all of it. So I figured I'd come anyway.
Yeah, well, you won't see our faces, which, believe me, that's a plus, too. So that's three good things.
Yeah. No, seriously, I think you guys should, you know, have it just in case someone says, you know what, I'd rather not do it over the computer. I'd rather just come and hand them a credit card and let me in, as they say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's your call, but, you know, there will be online things as well. And, you know, it's going to be fun. But you're already in Queens, so, I mean, that's pretty awesome. Maybe you could say something about Queens for those people that are hesitant to come to Queens. They think it's too far away.
No, I mean, I don't know where they're coming from, but you're not too far
Manhattan. Some of them are coming from Manhattan, and they're afraid of Queens.
Well, you know, you're not too far away, and you got some good pizzerias around there.
Hell yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I can say this because we're not on the radio, but there's a place by St. John's called Regina's. Have you ever been there?
Oh, yeah, I know that place, of course. I live in Electra. I live over there near the LIE at 164th Street.
Yeah, this is on Union Turnpike and Utopia Parkway. It's on that corner.
Well, you know what? You got the subway station not too far away. You can take the U and the F, or you can come to Jamaica train station not too far away.
That's right. There are buses that go right to the campus, and, of course, you can always do one of those rideshare things. But it's easy to get to, and the thing is, it's such an amazing place. You have the space of the campus, but you also have, you know, the diversity of Queens. You've got Chinatown, the biggest Chinatown in the area, a tenant right away.
Building, or are you having it in separate buildings?
I'm sorry?
Are all of the exhibits and the classrooms, is it all going to be in one building?
It's actually in three buildings, but the buildings are adjacent to each other, so they're pretty simple to get to.
Okay.
All right.
Glad you guys are having it. I hope for the best of you guys.
Yeah, we hope to see you there.
Yeah, because I remember going to the one in 1994.
Oh, wow. You went to the first one.
I went to the first one. Yeah, that one, wasn't that free? But I don't think you had to pay for that one.
Oh, it was $25. I remember.
Okay.
It was $25.
I remember going there. That was, you had all kinds of stuff. You had guys building circuits. Uh-huh. You had guys building oscillators and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was
all of those good things that don't work anymore.
That was a bit of history right there at the top of the Hotel Pennsylvania.
The red box. it's like 2,200 hertz.
Uh-huh. Red boxes work back then. Wow.
There will be people assembling things much in the same way as they were. Maybe different types of circuits and different different technologies, but there will be a lot of the same kind of spirit as far as people crafting and sharing how they're built.
Arduinos. Hey, Arduinos. You got Arduinos and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
You can build computers today, and you can build, you can take Pi computers and make run a whole computer. There's so much you can do today. You don't need a whole board of TTL logic.
Hey, Gila has a question. Go ahead, Gila.
I was going to say something else about Queens, which is, it's hailing right now in our part of Queens. Caller, is it hailing where you are?
I don't know. I don't hear nothing. I'm going to be going out in a few minutes. I got a seeing eye dog that I got to take out.
Well,
see what happens.
Does
part of Queens are you in?
We're in Forest Hills.
I'm not too far away. I'm over near 164th Street and whatever.
All right, let's not give out our addresses, but if you're seeing iDog, if you're seeing iDog doesn't like thunder, there might be a thunderstorm coming. That's what I heard.
No, they're good. They don't. She doesn't care.
Okay, good.
Listen, if I come, I might come. So what time does it start on Friday?
Starts at 10 in the morning. It could be there as early as 9, though, for registration, and runs until Sunday evening.
All right, hopefully you guys, I don't know if I'll do it online, hopefully you guys will allow people just to show up and just pay.
All right, well, if you do come, definitely mention that you're at 1994, and we'll definitely want to talk to you and reminisce.
Yeah, I remember that. In 1994, you had the first one. You guys will probably recognize me. You had it at the old hotel, Pennsylvania Hotel.
That's right.
You had it, and you had it on one or two floors, and I remember that. It was all one big area.
Uh-huh. From the expression on Gila's face, was that thunder you just heard?
By the way, I hear thunder now.
Yeah, you both heard thunder at the same time. Wow. That's something. We're going to study that. All right, well, we hope to see you.
I love to hear more. You guys got to do more history. History of blue boxes. You don't talk about this stuff anymore on the air.
We do sometimes, but yeah, we got to get into the mood. And maybe if we had some things to play with on the air, we could do that.
Yeah, you got to talk about some of the old guys from the phone company. You can come out and try to bust us.
Uh-huh, yep.
Kenny Loach and all those guys, they're not live anymore, but those guys used to try to put handcuffs on people.
Wow. They didn't play around, did they?
Hey, they didn't like the idea that we would blow off 2,600.
So you actually were an old blue boxer of the day, right?
I played with blue boxes. I even knew a guy, I won't mention his name, but I knew a guy who had a blue box on a handheld, on a UHF handheld, and did it that way. But I can tell you that, I had a blue box. I built out a bunch of TTL logic. You know who else built the blue box?
Who?
How they use that money? They were selling them. The guy that started Apple.
I think we know that. Yes, I think that's something that's very well known. Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs.
And they took the money they made from that and piled it in to build the first Apple II computer. And I'm not reading that from a book. I actually met those guys for ham. They used to go to the ham fest.
So all of you use iPhones. It was built on freaking. So don't ever forget that. That's why there should be freaking apps on those things,
You know what's so funny? The phone company fought tooth and nail not to break up. They wanted to squeeze everybody. Look at what's happened today. Everything is practically free today. You can make a phone call from here to Europe, and you hardly pay anything. I mean, there's no more hacking.
Well, there's hacking, but it's not the same.
They're all broken up.
Yeah. That's, it's part of the changes.
Yeah, this is a huge issue, I think, to confront. There's a lot of different aspects of it when you're reflecting at the past, on the past and how it's influencing the present. And as different characters move in and out and the stories get shared and the interests kind of ebb and flow, that the recurrence of discussing them is lost in some cases without capturing it. That's why we try to do some of the stories about museums and places where stuff is still...
Museum, that's a bad thing. But I will tell you this much. The stuff today, technology, I'm a double E. I've got an engineering degree. But the stuff today doesn't have character. You know, it's all on a computer chip. It's not
Well, that's why I think... Yeah, having like less, having workshops and places, creating space for people to do that kind of craftiness and give it that artful,
Yeah, this is why I think kids really gravitate towards older technology, because even kids today, they like to take things apart and put them back together again. What you're saying about things on a chip, yeah, he can't do that. You either break it or you buy a new one.
No, but the idea is just to think today had character. You know, you don't blaze with anybody, you can make a phone call so quickly, there's no static, you know, whatever. You know, all the old phone numbers are gone, like 958-660, all of that stuff. But I'm also going to say that with, you know, people starting to build again, it came too late for Radio Shack. Man, I miss Radio Shack.
Oh, we all do.
Mm-hmm.
We all do.
You know, said that they started selling phones. They thought that was going to be their thing. They'll come in and we'll sell you for $16 an extra 6 years of lifetime service on a cable. You go buy an RCA cable, they want to sell you, you know, a contract. That really hurt them.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, here's a bit of memory that you might appreciate. There's an old-fashioned ring for you. Phones don't sound like that anymore.
What is that? Is that a
paddle
office?
Oh, I don't know exactly. I know it comes from Canada, so that's all I can tell you.
Is that in service now? Or is that
something? No. I wish it were. I think it's a step-by-step switch, actually. Back in Detour Lake, Ontario. Detour Lake, Ontario is where this is from.
Well, you know what? I always like listening to the old YouTube clip. What's the guy's name? The guy that did all the recordings.
Evan Doorbell does those.
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
I think so, because the videos keep coming out, so he must be. And
does he ever show up to the hacker stuff?
I have never met him, but I have a feeling I probably must have at some point. But that's part of the magic of the community. You never know who you're really talking to.
Yeah, and I'll say that we do get into these conversations at some of the museums and talking to people who've worked in the industry. They always come up and have these kinds of stories. So the more people get together, the more we get to discuss it.
Well, we did at the last Hope Conference. The last Hope Conference, we had the 2600 van, which is an old phone company van, and we had that parked outside the convention all night long. It was playing Evan Doorbell audio tapes, and people were hearing all kinds of old phone noises all night long.
You know what's really interesting? Like, hey, let me see. I was like 16 or 17, built the black box with a relay and a capacitor, all that good stuff.
Wow. You know,
I remember those days where somebody from the phone company caught me because I had told people, call my house. What I had done was I had taken a radio listening to a local repeater, and I had it hooked up to a black box to a transformer, so they called my phone, and it would ring, and they would listen to the conversations, and when they hung up, they got their dime back. And that's how I almost got busted that way.
Oh, yes. You know, if we had this conversation a few months ago, I would have said, you should submit a talk, and then you get free admission to the conference. But I will suggest that for next conference, that you should definitely give a talk, because you have so many interesting things to share.
Oh, that'd be great. No, I think I'm going to try to show up. I didn't know. I thought it was $300. I think I might show up for $225. All right, guys, listen. I don't want to take up everybody's time. No, I have come down a couple of times. Do you guys do meet at the Citibank?
Rob can tell you this. Rob, what's going on with the meetings?
Yeah, we're still doing those first Friday of every month at the Hue, which is what used to be the Citigroup Center building. It's a food court on the first floor. It's been completely redone. If you haven't been there in some years, you might be interested to know.
It's what
53rd Street and Lexington Avenue. I don't remember the numerical address of the building.
Oh, 53rd
but,
Street left.
Yeah.
That's going to be have it this Friday after you got to have it on the 5th.
On the 5th. Yeah, that's a week from this Friday coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you got, what time does the meeting start?
Technically, it starts around 5, but it can get going really around 6 or 7 as people get out of work and gather up and stuff.
But on the 5th, it may wind up earlier because some people have the day off.
Hmm.
Wouldn't they stick around longer if they have the day off?
Maybe.
Very possible.
You guys wrap it up.
Yeah,
9 or 10.
Yeah, sometimes, late, because there are a lot of places there to hang out, so
yeah.
People can
and also,
off.
Like, in the old days, we used to have to leave Citigroup to go find something to eat, go to a restaurant or something, but there's so many new options for food in the food court area now that a lot of people just have their dinner there, and they just keep having the meeting.
They even sell Club Mate there.
They don't close the building down at a certain time?
At some point they do, but usually, you know, they outlast us. Usually.
Usually, yeah.
All right, guys, you have a great evening. I don't want to, you've got other callers, but great talking to you guys.
Great hearing from you as well, and we hope that you come to Hope and tell your stories, because we'd love to hear more.
Well, I'm gonna look for you guys, ask for the guy to run the 2600.
We'll be there.
I'll be the only guy there with a dog.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. It might be several dogs, but we'll see. Thanks for calling.
You too. Bye-bye.
Take care. That was a good call. That was a great call. Mm-hmm. Do you want to...
That was really cool.
...have one more call and see if we can have nothing but good calls tonight?
That's up to you.
All right. Well, it's up to the callers.
I'll answer it if I have permission.
You have to call within the next 2 minutes, and then we'll give up. Rob looks like he has something to say.
Yeah, I mean, all this talk about old phone phreaking and stuff, and also hotel phones, reminds me of a very old story, which I can tell around the campfire, which was going back to the 90s. I had an occasion to stay in a hotel room while I had a laptop computer with me, an old DOS Windows monster of a computer, and I wanted to get online with it. This had a phone-based modem in it. But the landline in the hotel had nowhere to plug a phone into because things were permanently installed into the wall, so you didn't walk away with the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So the trick that a lot of travelers who were hackers, freaks, whatever, came up with was to bring a couple of sewing pins with you, because if you could tap into the wires in the phone cord leading to the wall and stick one pin in the ring line and one pin in the tip line, and then clip your beige box type alligator clips onto those pins, you could connect directly to the phone line without having to install a phone or find a way to plug something into the wall. And I was able to get online that way with a horrible old laptop with a horrible old modem.
And that's how you got here.
Absolutely.
That was Rob's first step in the journey. And Kyle, we have another phone call?
Yes.
All right. And good evening. You're on Off Talk Overtime. Go ahead.
Good evening, gang. This is Tim in Connecticut. How you doing?
Hey, Tim in Connecticut. How are you?
Pretty good. By the way, that was about 4 months ago, going through Terminal 3 in London Heathrow. They had payphones.
Okay.
But what I was calling about was this year for Hope, since you made mention of an app, I was wondering, is there going to be the Hope app again?
There's going to be something for scheduling, I know that. I don't know exactly how to get it, some kind of service, hacker track or something. But we'll definitely make it well known so when it's all set up.
I'm sure it must be a heck of a data entry project.
Yeah, some of it basically is, yeah, it's exactly like, it's got to be correct and locked so it's not changing, and then when we do have the event, there may be some changes that we want to make, so having that all work the right way and have things, you know, appear the way they should take some time, and so it's in our list of activities as far as pre-planning. It takes a little bit of time to be ready to go with it, and I think they're doing it a little bit differently than we did before. There was a link to it that we just didn't really have right away, but I think it's going to be available through another app.
Well, that's good. I mean, it was very handy last time at St. John's, because in one place you could see whenever there was a conflict between the talks.
Right.
You know, sometimes you want to be in more than one talk at a time.
Yeah, like ones that you had intended to see. I see it had tools for your activity planning.
Right.
Got it. Well,
yeah, it was very handy. I mean, of course, you know, for free, who can complain? I mean,
you'd be surprised.
Well, I mean, with everything else that's going on, and it has to take in 3 days.
Right. Well, the schedule is online for the talks, so you can look at the schedule now. The workshops, I believe, are going to be online. I mean, we have a listing of them, not the schedule, but and everything will be, you know, in the days ahead, it's going to become more and more together, so you'll be able to plan everything.
Yeah, because we have basically, when it's correct, it'll be duplicated across some of these different methods of getting it. And of course, there will be a printed
iPhone versus the Android versus the whatever.
Right, and there will be larger printouts of it as we've done in the past, as well as pamphlets and stuff like that that everybody can use.
From what I saw on Hope.net, I mean, I could print off, I think it was 6 or 7 pages worth of the talks and everything, and start going down the list of yes, I want this, no, I don't want that.
Yeah, and there'll be a printed program available to everybody when they come in, so you can carry that around with you too, old school
style.
Oh, that's
true too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I always pick up the USB stick afterwards.
Yes, definitely.
Because I mean, no matter, even if I miss a talk because of an overlap or whatever, I know it's going to be on that.
Uh-huh.
So, all righty. Well, I see the time, and I know you guys are going with no fans. Thank you very much.
Yes, yes. We're hoping for that.
We're hoping
for our thunderstorm to come through and cool things down.
Oh, it's coming.
Okay, good. I'd like to hear that.
Took a quick look on Wonder Map, and that's decent.
Uh-huh. So, all right.
All righty, guys.
All right.
Have a great night.
Take care. We'll see you in July. Bye-bye.
I'll see you at Hope.
Great. Bye-bye. And that's going to do it for us tonight. So thank you, everybody who called in. Thanks to all the people listening out there. Thanks to all the people signed up to go to Hope. And again, if you can make it to Hope, you can be a virtual ticket holder and help support the conference that way. You know, if we could charge nothing, we would, believe me. But unfortunately, everybody charges us, so we have to pay them and survive. But we do charge as little as we possibly can without being completely crazy. So hope.net is where all the information is on schedule, who's talking, what they're talking about, how you can get involved, how you can volunteer. It happens every 2 years. It's always magic. It always wears us out like you would not believe, but it's always so worth it, and we hope you're a part of that.
Oh, it's truly, truly rewarding, and like a big, big thank you to everyone out there that helped out in getting a lot of details and everything lined up. It's a heavy lift, and there's just, we make it look easy. I've been reminded by just some of the incredible skill we have in hackers and the people that just are dedicated and show up and help out the way they do. We wouldn't be as organized and have so much to offer if it wasn't for that. So I'm really, really, really glad we're on track with the kind of help we've had.
And with that, we're going to say goodnight. So until next week, take care of yourselves, stay cool, and pay attention to what's going on. And the food is here, okay. Robin Gila's food has arrived right on schedule. See you next time.
Good night.